Coming up at the end of this segment, we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Where the Party At tour featuring Nelly, Ja Rule, Eve, and Chingy. It's coming up at Jiffy Lube Live later this summer, so you can win those at the end of this segment.
So we have the TVs on here, and it's on ESPN, and they're starting to do college football previews.
Yeah.
Love it.
Jordan Palmer's on TV, and he was on The Bachelorette. I don't see him a lot on TV, but I know he's a college football analyst. And he looks like so personable.
You mean not Jordan Palmer. Jordan Rodgers.
Sorry. Jordan Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers' brother.
Yes. Sorry. Yeah. Jordan Rodgers are two famous Jordans that are quarterbacks.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And the lesser quarterbacks in their families.
Right.
Sorry. Jordan Rodgers. He looks like so personable. He's like laughing. And then Aaron is so smarmy.
Yeah, his brother's just sullen and just... I don't know. He just seems unapproachable.
Look at him. Like, even his smile looks like he looks like a guy you'd like to hang out with.
Sure.
I don't necessarily love his mustache there, but he's smiling, joking around. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers is like turning down autographs and just he's playing in a celebrity tournament, making news of how much of a jerk he is.
Those guys, they don't talk, do they? Do they?
I don't know. I don't know if they're estranged. They could be estranged.
Well, they were for a while. Yeah. Maybe they've slowly gotten back.
Maybe they've mended the
fences. I think there was a story that the parents came to a game. I'm not sure about Jordan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. He's just total opposite. Completely different.
What was the other story with Aaron? I know that it was both of them happened. There were two different incidents at the tournament in Tahoe, right? One was, and I didn't think it was that big of a deal. He was signing autographs. And then he wouldn't sign for one guy who claims to be an autograph seeker.
That guy's like an eBay guy, just going to flip on eBay immediately. Yeah. Like, and look, I can kind of understand Aaron Rodgers and other athletes in that respect. Like, if a kid comes up to you and wants them to sign a jersey or a ball, please sign for them. Take the 5 seconds. But if it's a guy that you know is just going to take it and try to sell it for $400 on eBay and profit off of you, like, I can understand the reluctance there. I'm not going to call him a jerk for turning down that autograph.
I don't think he's a jerk, but, I mean, those guys, they are grinding. They're standing outside stalking these people.
They're losers. Let's be honest.
I think they're losers.
They're grown men losers trying to flip stuff on eBay off of somebody else's name and likeness.
Man, I want to go to that course, that Lake Tahoe
then
course.
Go.
Man, that place is
unbelievable. Why don't you go at
it
some
looks
point?
Looks unbelievable.
Looks great.
The other incident.
I really want to go to Tahoe. I want to go to Tahoe.
It involved a young boy who claimed that an errant shot from Rodgers nearly struck him, leading to an emotional reaction from the child. In response to the boy's claim, Rodgers expressed skepticism. He stated that the child was standing behind the ropes, which are typically used to keep spectators at a safe distance. According to Rodgers, his shot didn't come close to the young boy.
I didn't see that.
He said.
It was such a casual thing. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I'm not his biggest fan by any means, but he gets attacked no matter what he does.
Right.
So if he doesn't sign for an autograph hound, he's a jerk because he won't sign for fans.
I agree.
This is like him. These people are just chirping at these guys all day long.
Right.
Everyone's making a one-liner.
Yeah.
So what, is he going to stop and talk to everyone during this round? So he's walking and somebody says, hey, you almost hit me. And he says, almost doesn't count.
Yeah.
Keeps on walking. I mean, it was fine.
It's pretty funny.
People love to hate him.
Yeah. Yes, I agree with you.
But he's still not as personable as his brother.
No, I think that's true.
I mean, his brother's call. Doesn't brother call games for like ESPN?
Yeah, he's good.
Yeah, I mean, he can't be just a withdrawn jerk if he's calling football games. He's got to have a personality.
And I think Jordan Rodgers is one of the few bachelor or bachelorette. I don't know which one he was on. I think he was the bachelor.
I think that's correct.
I think he's one of the few who got married and is still married.
I think his wife's name is JoJo.
You know
that's when I was back in on The Bachelor. I've been out for a few years.
You know the others that's still married? Trista and Ryan.
And they were like OG bachelors.
They're like the OG.
That's going back a long way.
Yeah.
They probably have like 20-year-old kids.
I saw them. We were in Vail for a lacrosse tournament years ago, and they were in the same bowling alley as us. I was just kind of... I was a little bit starstruck, Cakes, by the dumb Bachelor contestant.
Did you pick up the 7-10 split? Always hard to do.
I didn't pay attention.
That 7-10 split's damn near impossible.
Yeah.
Good luck. Good luck to you.
I mean, how random is that? That you're in? I mean, I knew that they lived in Vail for some reason.
Yeah.
But that you would be in the bowling alley with them?
Right. That would be pretty weird. That would be pretty bizarre.
Well, when you brought up Jennifer Love Hewitt, remember when I saw her out in Malibu?
So in Malibu, right?
in a, like a taco or a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was basically a taco shop.
They're rebooting I Know What You Did Last Summer, and she's in it.
Really?
Yeah.
She's married to a guy who went to Gonzaga High School.
Okay. I didn't know if it was a reboot or they were just bringing back the old one.
No, no, they're rebooting it, and she's in it.
She was on the original TV show. I watched like one or two episodes. I think it was just called 911.
Yeah, I don't know.
Something like that.
I can't watch the 911 shows. They're too cheesy. You watched one or two episodes. You bailed. Cheesy.
Bailed.
All right. We wanted to get into this article about Jaden Daniels and the offense. This is from heavy.com. Your headline: Commanders warned about unsustainable Jaden Daniels plan. First paragraph is, getting Jaden Daniels up to speed quick enough to dominate the NFL as a rookie was a credit to the Commanders and their coaching staff, but they have been warned about continuing an, quote, unsustainable plan for their star quarterback.
Who's warning them?
As ESPN's Mina Kimes discussed on the Mina Kimes show, the Commanders had 677 snaps of no huddle last year. The next closest team was Philly with 274 snaps. Kimes asked former Green Bay Packers left tackle Marshall Newhouse if the Commanders can continue doing this much no huddle. His response should serve as a warning to Daniels and offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury about what comes next after 2024's Cinderella season. Newhouse believes, quote, no huddle is Cliff Kingsbury's way of stressing the defense, getting a certain personnel on the field, and limiting what they can do from an attack scheme. But I think it also has limitations. Those limitations can be attributed to the Commanders having what Newhouse dubbed, quote, Dollar General 49ers. He said, so they've got Zach Ertz, Terry McLaurin, and Brian Robinson, and Debo on the field. They can kind of interchange and move all over the place, but eventually you're going to have to get in two tight end sets. You're going to have to run duo somewhere. You're going to have to get the third and one. And teams aren't just going to allow you to run just up and down the field. This is not college.
Mm. Well, I think that what you saw from Cliff Kingsbury's offense last year is they actually gave Jaden more and more responsibility. So I don't think it's something that they really should be fearful of.
And maybe he'll adjust a little bit.
You know, EB said let Jaden cook at one point, and that's kind of what they did down the stretch.
Thank you.
Because maybe they were protecting him for those games where they were losing and he was coming off the rib injury.
Up. They were definitely protecting him a little bit.
But I think they have it in the offense. And adding Debo Samuel is going to diversify the offense even more.
Yeah, I wanted to find out how, and we'll see it, but how different it's going to look with Debo and with Tunsil. And maybe they are going to start using more tight ends. You know, maybe they will cut down. Yeah. I mean, 400 play difference for no huddle, that's a lot.
That's substantial.
So maybe they cut that down by, you know, 20, 30%.
And what Newhouse outlined is the need for the Commanders to be more physical and still win when defenses have had time to huddle up, prepare, and substitute.
Mm-hmm.
Says the answer to that question will be determined by whether or not the Commanders have the personnel to break a huddle, line up in traditional sets, and still beat some of the best defenses in football. Look, and that's coming from a former left tackle. Like, this guy knows what he's talking about. He's a former player. He's been out there. He's seen it all. So he's got questions as to whether it's sustainable.
He's not stupid. I mean, he'll adjust. I mean, he's got different personnel now. And is it possible just to outscore teams for, you know, every single week? No. So they'll probably have to slow the game down a little bit. But we'll see. I mean, we'll see what kind of a difference Debo makes and Tunsil and all these other guys. The running game has to get better. Running game has to get better.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree.
Not just relying on JD.
I'm not really worried about opposing defenses. I think we're going to be fine.
I'm not worried at all. I think Cliff is going to make whatever adjustments he feels like he needs to make.
Yeah.
To keep Jaden comfortable and to keep the offense ahead of the chains. I'm not that worried.
I'm only worried. I'll only be worried if we have a significant injury along the offensive line or if we lose Jaden.
Right. Well, if you lose Jaden.
Of course.
I mean, Mariota filled in nicely, but I wouldn't want him doing that for 6, 8, or 10 games.
No. That's not sustainable.
That's, yeah.
Basically, obviously, it goes without saying, the entire season hinges on his health. But, you know, if they lost Tunsil, then I think it would hurt.
Oh, big time.
Right? I think is a big reason why that was a priority for them. And obviously, if they don't get the Terry deal done, which I think is incomprehensible, like a 0% chance they don't get that deal done.
I know I said August, but I'd love to see it happen before, yeah, a week of training camp is up. I don't know if he'll be signed by the beginning of training camp, but a few days into training camp, let's get the deal done.
I would love to know.
Let's get him out there.
Well, they're not going to get it done while he's traveling, right? While he's in Europe. They're not. I mean, I know they can make a phone call and do it, but I don't think they're going to. I think it's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know how long he's going to be in Italy, but.
I wouldn't sweat, though, kind of the premise of that article. Here is a counter from an NFL coordinator who prepared for Daniels last season, according to Chris Fowler of ESPN. It's a quote. Single-handedly took one of the worst franchises to the NFC title game as a rookie with a bad defense, one legitimate wide receiver, a dinosaur at tight end, and average at best O-line. The kid can read coverages, throw with accuracy, and touch to all levels of the field, just as dangerous as Lamar and Josh Allen with his legs, and has a clutch factor to him because his team already believes that if he has the ball with a chance to win, he's going to find a way. If he repeats anything close to his rookie year, he's no lower than number three on the list that we were talking about yesterday, which had Patrick Mahomes 1, Josh Allen 2, mm-hmm. Joe Burrow 3, and Lamar Jackson 4.
They're saying if he regresses, he'd be a little lower than 3?
No, if he repeats anything close to his rookie year, the quote from an NFL coordinator, I guess they would put him ahead of Lamar and Joe Burrow.
I don't know how you would do that. He needs to do
more. There's a lot of expectations, guys, putting him number three.
Well, the expectation should be high. He had him within one win of a Super Bowl as a rookie.
I know. Sports isn't that predictable.
Oh, I know.
Especially NFL.
If I'm Zach Ertz, I'd be offended by the dinosaur comment. I mean, he's up there. He's 34, but it's not like he's 40 years old lumbering around on the field. I mean, I'd be a little bit upset if I were Zach Ertz. That's an unwarranted shot.
That you want to talk about a regression, that's the one that you have to assume regresses pretty substantially, right? His production.
I mean, I would think
can he stay
mainly
on the field?
Yeah, I think it would mainly regress if he just can't stay out there for 15 plus games. I think if he plays 15 plus games, he should catch 60 balls again. He might not have as many touchdowns, but he should still be heavily involved in the offense. I mean, Jaden loves throwing the ball to him.
Right.
How would that change? How would that be different in 25?
Are you going to be okay if Ertz goes down in week 2 and misses a month and you got to throw Sinnott? You got to throw Sinnott out there to start?
I'm cautiously optimistic.
You don't feel
on Sinnott.
Great about it, but like there's a reason you drafted him in the second round.
I know.
You have high expectations for him.
Just didn't see anything.
I'm more bullish on him than I am Lattimore. I'm more bullish
on
a guy with 5 catches as a rookie.
Sure. He's a rookie, just wasn't used.
I am not.
He was a rookie, just wasn't used. The guy ahead of him just had an unbelievable career year. So, I mean, we haven't seen anything to think of. I haven't seen nothing from Ben Sinnott where I go, oh, he can't do it. See nothing that indicates that. The guy ahead of him had a career year.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel Lattimore, if he's healthy, and the hamstring isn't dogging him, that he should have a good year.
The thing I don't understand about the Lattimore thing I've talked about, he hadn't been healthy in 4 years.
I know. He's had issues.
Just fall out of the sky and be healthy all of a sudden. He hadn't been healthy in 4 years. He's had 4 off seasons.
He's gonna be good.
Everybody says fifth time's a charm.
I guess.
It's a very common saying.
People say, why do you expect Debo? He hasn't been healthy. But they expect Lattimore to miraculously be healthy? Why? I don't understand.
Maybe he's seeing a hamstring specialist.
He's not 35 years old.
Okay. What is Lattimore, 28?
Maybe, 29.
Right? Similar to Debo, though. People mock you if you say you think Debo's going to have a good year or potentially have a good year, still has good years left.
Yep.
But because of the age and injury history. But with Lattimore, just assume he'll just be fine, he'll get healthy? Why?
They don't even think about him because he was barely here. I think he's going to have a big year.
All right, we're going to hook up.
I think he's going to be healthy this year.
Caller number 10 right now, you're going to score 2 tickets to the Where the Party At Tour. 800-636-1067. 10th caller, you're going to win a pair of tickets to see Nelly and the St. Lunatics, Ja Rule, Eve, and Chingy Wednesday, July 23rd at Jiffy Lube Live. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. 10th caller right now wins. We'll be right back.